The deal is being sold as a landmark moment in the relationship between the European Union and the United States. Both account for around one third of all world trade. So any agreement reached between them is hugely significant. The talks went down to the wire, with both sides playing hardball, neither ready to give in easily, but neither had an appetite to let the negotiations drag on beyond Friday's deadline of August the 1st. And so in Scotland last night, at a golf resort owned by the US President Donald Trump, a deal was done. Ursula von der Leyen had flown in for the talks with President Trump, and the EU's Trade Commissioner Maroš Šefčovič was there too. EU companies exporting goods to the United States will pay 15% tariffs on all goods. The EU will remove its tariffs on US goods, as well as buying billions of dollars worth of energy, military equipment and investments in US companies. What will the EU get in return? Well, the public hasn't been told anything yet. We're joined by Peter Burke, Fine Gael TD for Longford Westmeath and Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment. Peter Burke, good morning. You're very welcome.
Good morning, Audrey.
This is very bad news for Irish companies, I'll put to you, going from zero or minimal tariffs to 15%.
Well, first of all, I think it gives certainty, which is key. But there's three key areas I think we have to focus on. We are about 4 days away, which would have been a 30% tariff for the US. And that would have been very significant for all our companies right across the country. Secondly, I think it avoids a direct trade war, because we're very much aware that there was about 100 billion euro of countermeasures that were ready to be deployed, which would have a very significant effect on Ireland and as well on the North-South economy. And the third key area is that obviously we're waiting for a lot of the detail to emerge. Coreper is going to be briefed this morning in Brussels and our team will be there. But the key thing is that there will be a number of carve-outs. Obviously, aviation has been cited as a zero for zero, but also in relation to agri-foods and potentially spirits. We were obviously very concerned about the stacking mechanism, where your listeners will be aware that the 15% would have been put on top of existing tariffs. So I think it's key that that does not happen, and that will give a significant assurance to those sectors which were very vulnerable because they're low margin areas.
Have you seen anything written down to confirm that that won't happen?
I haven't. I've just heard from the press conference, obviously, yesterday from the President of the Commission and from our ambassador team in Brussels, but they are going into a meeting shortly now with Coreper, which essentially is the mechanism whereby all the 27 member states are briefed collectively by the President of the Commission. And that will obviously come forward with the detail, because everyone is very clear here, the devil is in the detail, and we do need to see those key areas, those carve-outs that have been specifically called out by the President of the Commission yesterday.
On this programme a short while ago, the CEO of IBEC, the employers group, Danny McCoy, described it as a capitulation by the European Union to Donald Trump, citing 15% tariffs, the EU removing their tariffs from US imports, and then all of this billions that they say is going to be spent by the European Union on buying American energy, American military, and investing in US companies. Is this a deal that the Irish government can support?
Well, first of all, I think the Irish government is very, very clear and has been that tariffs are bad. They constrain supply, they drive prices up. They're not good for the US economy or indeed for the Irish economy. And we all know that Ireland's position is very clear, that we always favour open rules-based and fair trade at every hand's turn. And when you have the talk of tariffs and a deal like this, it is going to be challenging. I think we have to be very honest about that. But as I mentioned at the opening of this interview, those three key areas would have a devastating effect on our economy if you had a tit-for-tat trade war, and indeed if you had the stacking mechanism on top of additional tariffs that already were there. So I think once those are avoided, that's going to be key.
But 15% is a huge tariff, Peter Burke, is it not?
It is indeed. It's a very significant tariff, and we had a lot of modelling carried out on the various different options, and some were very perverse that would have closed the market if you had, you know, over a 30% tariff with a stacking mechanism. But we will be working with all our exporters, as we have been over the last number of months. We had established a number of months ago a unit within Enterprise Ireland working very closely with all our 950 exporters to the US, and we have stood up a number of support mechanisms. We have strategic consultancy grants, process innovation grants, and market discovery grants, which are working hand in hand with all those exporters, having face-to-face meetings to ensure that they are supported and that they get that strategic advice that they need to review their supply chain mechanisms and country of origin principles to assist them in the days ahead.
Let's talk about the pharmaceutical sector, because it had been kept separate up until now. Ursula von der Leyen is saying that it is included in this 15% tariff, but just a matter of hours before the agreement was done, Donald Trump was asked if any deal would include pharma. And here's what he said.
No, it won't. Pharmaceuticals will be, I mean, could be we'll do something, but basically pharmaceuticals won't be part of it because we have to have them built, made in the United States, and we want them made in the United States. And I think it's easy to say, and I think it's important to say pharmaceuticals are very special. We can't be in a position where we don't have, where we're relying on other countries. Now, Europe is going to make pharmaceuticals, drugs and everything else for us too, a lot, but we're going to have also our own.
He's very clear there, Peter Burke. Pharmaceuticals will not be included in it, he said. So which is it?
So from my perspective, I understand that the 15% will be a ceiling subsequent to the Section 232 investigation. So in other words, any tariff would not increase beyond 15%. Obviously,
Where's the evidence, though, backing that up? Because there, you know that there is this separate investigation underway in the States into pharma. It is possible, is it not, that higher tariffs could emerge following that?
No, I don't think so. I think the president of the commission has been very clear that the 15% will be a ceiling. And from the clip you played there with the president, Donald Trump, he's been clear as well that there will be other areas that he can look at on pharmaceuticals. Because for your listeners' benefit, pharmaceuticals are very complex. A lot of the product that is exported over to the US is not a complete product. Almost 70% of it is components of the final product that will come together. And that's why we do need to ensure that we have a very keen rate to ensure we incentivize innovation in that sector, because that's so important for the global economy. We've about 100,000 employees in Ireland, 130 billion exports in the life science sector, and the government will be bringing forward a separate life science strategy later on this year, which will be key in continuing the investment and offering a very competitive proposition from Ireland's perspective.
Will Ireland be involved in buying US energy and investing in US companies? I mean, what's all this about?
Well, this all has to be worked out yet. As you can appreciate, Audrey, I'm only hearing this for the first time last night, and we have nothing in paper. So obviously our ambassador team will be part of that debriefing this morning. But obviously it's key that over the next 3 years of the presidency, the president of the commission has stated that about a quarter of a billion euro per annum will be invested in LNG. And obviously diversification from a huge amount of Russian gas that was coming into the EU. So the whole detail of that will be worked out in the coming days. But from Ireland's key perspective, we're looking at obviously to continue to protect the jobs in our economy, ensuring that our exporters are supported, which we have been doing in the days ahead.
But is Ireland going to be buying US oil or gas or LNG or whatever?
No. Not that I'm aware of at this point in time. And obviously, I can't give a definitive on that in the hours after a deal, because I haven't just seen anything on paper yet, Audrey.
And investment in US companies, billions, says Donald Trump. I mean, the EU can't deliver on that, can it?
Well, we already are. If you look at this point in time, the EU is responsible for 2/3 of all the foreign direct investment right into the heart of the US administration. It's the biggest global trading relationship on the planet. Mm-hmm. And that's why it could have been very difficult should a trade war have happened. And that's one of the key things when people are looking at this deal. The prism of which you assess this deal is what could have happened in 4 days' time. We could have had 30% tariffs. We could have had the beginning of a trade war, which you would have nasty stacking of tariffs on existing ones that were inherent there already. Mm-hmm. And you could have a position whereby, you know, areas that are so important to the Irish economy, like 65% of all aircraft are leased through Ireland globally. And that would have a very significant impact on downstream activity for spare parts.
But it's all still very vague, isn't it? There appears to be still a lot of work to be done, at least at this point in time. And it is Donald Trump who you're dealing with, a man who changes his mind almost every hour. Very unpredictable. So you don't know if what was announced yesterday will be the final deal.
I think there's no doubt that we are in a challenging position, but we are in a position where we have the framework of an agreement, which does bring some clarity onto the table. How, what we have, and which is so important, Audrey, is that we have key sectors that have been called out. We know, and we've heard the soundings from our drinks sector, we've heard from our agri-foods, which is so important from Ireland as a country that produces enough food to feed 50 million people per annum, how important that is for export market. All those areas have been called out for separate carve-outs. So we have to see, well, what will that look like? What will that amount to on paper? And that's going to be where the devil in the detail of this agreement is. But the critical thing is that at all costs, we have to avoid escalation, because it would be devastating in terms of the impact, because the scale of the market is so huge.
In terms of last week's summer economic statement, which was outlining what the government would do in the forthcoming budget, it was predicated on a zero tariffs basis. Was that naive, to put it mildly?
No, it wasn't, because essentially we didn't know what we were to be faced with. And we don't know in a number of areas, because...
Well, we knew it was at least 10%. It was never going to be zero for zero.
And we can work the figures based on that now, because the critical thing is we do need to find out what happens in other areas, because this is very complex as you model a summer economic statement, because it depends what happens with China. That's a very significant market that a deal hasn't happened yet. And it really impacts what happens with our exporters here in Ireland as well, because so much product is in danger of being redirected into the EU market. We also don't know what separate carve-outs are going to emerge for the different sectors that are so vulnerable from an Irish perspective. So until we get flesh on the bones in all those areas over the coming weeks, we'll be in a better position then to really put forward what the budgetary parameters will end up with. The summer economic statement is a flagship moment where it sets out what is available, what our resource base is available, and it's done that very clearly. We'll have to see from the outworkings of the trade deal what will be in the fine print to really come forward with the budget 2026.
The hospitality industry might not get its 1 billion euro tax cut in light of this now. That might have to be re-examined.
Well, first of all, the hospitality sector is so important to me as tourism minister. 228,000 people that are employed in that sector, many in very regional parts of our country. And it's so important that we do underwrite.
But that cut that they've been promised, that might not happen now in light of this tariff.
We're very committed to that intervention. It's been very clearly set out in the programme for government, agreed by all parties. And it's one which, as Enterprise Minister, I have really championed, because I want to see that small, independent coffee shops and restaurants, that they are supported. And to do that as well, I'd be bringing forward, as part of the programme for government, a new tourism strategy in September, which we'll be looking at. But
the businesses directly impacted by this 15% tariff, don't they deserve that money instead? A good chunk of it, at least.
And we are working with them. As I pointed out, right now, we are working with our exporters over the last number of months. We have set up a unit within Enterprise Ireland months ago when we've been faced with this uncertainty. We have our market diversification action plan, which has been approved by Cabinet, and I'll be publishing in the first week of September our competitive action plan, which will really be looking at the heart of our economy, how we become more efficient, and we're investing in heavily in housing, in water, in energy, and our key infrastructure that will give us, you know, a huge amount of more opportunity for investment in the days ahead.
Thank you very much indeed. Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment. It's 8:25.